Welcome back. The Buy Nothing Project began as an experimental gift economy in the year 2013. The local-based Facebook group gained popularity and now has chapters in 30 countries. With 7 groups in D.C. and 3 more on the way, Buy Nothing's popularity in our region is only growing, and the effects it has in communities are more than just financial. Joining me in studio is Corey Chow. Corey is a moderator for the Buy Nothing Project. Corey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Annette Olson, the founder of Climate Steps. Annette, thank you for joining us.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
Corey, explain how a Buy Nothing group functions for listeners who are not familiar.
Sure. So Buy Nothing is a network that offers people a way to give, receive, share, lend, and express gratitude through hyperlocal gift economies. So it's about setting aside the scarcity model of our cash economy in favor for a more collaborative approach of sharing the abundance around us. So these communities are on Facebook. They're, like I said, they're hyper-local. So you will join according to what neighborhood that you live in and then can gift and receive through the group online there.
So when you talk about the scarcity of our cash economy, I'm assuming that means there are limits of how much we can purchase. But in the Buy Nothing economy, there are absolutely no limits of how much you can either give or receive, so to speak.
Absolutely. You can give and receive freely with no limits.
Annette, in addition to running Climate Steps, and by the way, I know Climate Steps is an environmental resource hub, but exactly what do you do?
So in addition, I'm an environmental scientist by training. Got my doctorate in a long time ago, studying mongooses of all things. For now 23 years, I've been doing strategic planning and for the federal government, outreach. And now I work for a nonprofit downtown, AAAS, American Association Advancement of Science, helping build research capacity.
Okay. You are also a member of a DC Buy Nothing group. How does this group align with your eco-friendly goals?
So I've always been very, very eco-friendly, and I've always have used groups like FreeCycle or Craigslist, joined the Buy Nothing group in my neighborhood about a year and a half ago. But only recently did I make the connection to climate change with kind of really Buy Nothing. I started Climate Steps about 2 years ago. And found out in the process that really the circular economy, which Buy Nothing groups contribute to, is vastly important to fighting climate change. So I've really been grateful for the opportunity for the Buy Nothing groups to help create system change in our communities to help support this circular economy.
Buy Nothing is an eco-friendly concept, is what you're saying.
Yes, very much so.
Corey, how did you get involved with the Buy Nothing Project?
So I've always been passionate about keeping things out of landfills and cutting consumerism. So I must have found it on a website that had something to do with that. It's been a while. I started the
too many transactions in between.
Exactly. Started the first group in about 2014. Once I heard about it, I was excited to go join my own Buy Nothing community, and I found out that actually we didn't have any here in D.C. So I went on the Buy Nothing website and requested to start a group. Rest is history.
Really? Because it's my understanding that Buy Nothing is in 30 countries at this point?
Well, yes. So the founders of Buy Nothing, it started off in Washington in 2013, I believe, Washington State. And so they have a centralized website where people can go start their own group for their neighborhood. And so they support, there are some more like regional admins who help people get started at a neighborhood level.
Is Buy Nothing limited to goods or can members also exchange services?
They can definitely exchange services. So one thing that we love to see people do is exchange gifts of time is what we call them. So people can request help moving, or they can offer, we had someone offer transpersonal coaching sessions, which was really neat. We had somebody actually ask for some help removing a dead bird from her porch, which was a funny one. So many people offered to help, and then she kept the group posted on with updates about how the bird removal journey was going.
Is there a greater need for the exchange of goods or the exchange of services, or is it unfair to compare them directly?
What we have been seeing most in our group, and I think which is representative of most groups, is that usually people will be sharing furniture, clothing, household items, things like that. But at the same time, there's so much value in gifting time and services, because those end up really being the points where connections are made and communities are strengthened, and the people build trust and feel like a community really has each other's backs.
Annette, what kind of impact can a Buy Nothing group have on the community?
Well, they're kind of two different impacts that Buy Nothing groups have. One is that it kind of helps create a system change overall in terms of how people gain goods, and that can impact the environment in terms of manufacturing, transport, etc. In terms of the community, people don't have to go as far to shop. But the main way that Buy Nothing groups can help communities in an environmental way is to help build resilience. Kind of like what Corey was saying in terms of gifts of time. There's a member of my Climate Steps group who's in a Buy Nothing group in Georgia, I believe, and her basement flooded. So she went on to Buy Nothing and asked for help, and people came over and they helped clean out her and drain her basement. And if there was a tree to fall during a disaster like a hurricane or other fierce storm, you could borrow chainsaws and have people come over and help each other. It really helps kind of build that community resilience that will be important as climate change becomes more impactful in the area.
It certainly seems to build a shared sense of community. So I may have answered this question, Corey, but I'll ask it to you anyway. Why do you think these groups are so popular in the greater Washington area here? Why do people join?
I think in D.C. there's so many people who are really passionate about, this is a city that draws people so often for jobs. And so we have a lot of people who are passionate about what they do, passionate about making a difference. And I think that for DC, that these groups have been so popular because it gives them another way to connect with their neighbors, to reduce their consumption and things that they put into landfills. And it's another outlet for them to make a difference in that way.
Same question to you, Annette. Why are these groups so popular in this region?
I think it's my answer is very similar to Corey's in that people here really believe in walking the talk, and they're very aware of global issues and regional environmental issues, and want to make an impact. And I think also people are very connected to the internet here versus my parents, say, in East Texas. So they are aware of the tools and opportunities on the internet for doing stuff like this.
Corey, what is proper etiquette in a Buy Nothing group? What can members not do?
Be civil is a number one
rule. It cannot be uncivil.
No hate speech, no threats, no harassment. We typically don't talk about religion or politics in these groups. It's just not really the place for it. Aside from those basics, we encourage people to slow gift is what we call. So we encourage when people share something to let the gift simmer for a couple of days before choosing a recipient, so that it gives everyone a chance to see what's posted, and it helps us avoid the feeling that we all need to be glued to our screens in order to receive a gift. And also that dissuades people from it being just the same folks getting the gifts over and over, and it helps distribute the gifts more widely. we also encourage people to, like I mentioned before, gifts of time, and is a great thing that we like to see people ask for and people receive. Aside from that, it's not too much of a strict community.
Is there anything that cannot be given away?
That's a good question. I think medications. If you need a prescription, that's one that we don't allow.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm assuming things like weapon, like.
But what happens if you find that a member of a Buy Nothing group accepts a gift with the intention of selling it?
Great question. So we do allow people to sell gifts as long as they disclose that that's their intention. So we haven't had anyone do that yet because people tend to want the gifts for themselves. But if they do receive a gift and then turn around and sell it without letting us know, then one of the moderators will reach out and let them know that the rule has been broken and ask them not to do that again. And then if it continues to be an issue, then they'll be removed from the group.
Annette, are there any downsides to these groups being neighborhood-based?
Really, the only one that I can kind of think of is the potential for the re-gifting to continue to happen, within a particular level of income. So, for instance, if you're in a very wealthy community and the re-gifting happens just within that wealthy community, then a lot of people will lose out, and a lot of people who may be in more need of a particular item. So besides re-gifting, I would encourage people to think in terms of also donating some things that might be useful for others that, just kind of help spread the wealth. And for instance, Corey was mentioning, we were talking a few minutes ago, that sharing news of clothing swaps or drives or something like that is also, I think, important. So that, yeah.
Well, what's the best thing you've received from your group?
I would have to say that I just got this incredible computer roller bag that is beautiful, and I love it. I need it. The other best thing was candle making equipment. So I have a history of making candles with my dad, and I saw that and I was like, oh yes, I want to make candles. So yeah.
How about you, Corey? What's the best thing you have received from your group?
My favorite gift was when someone offered the transpersonal coaching sessions with tarot cards. And so I took them up on that and had a session with them. And it was actually really transformative. It got some good advice and insight from that.
And we should emphasize that there is the option, as you pointed out earlier, to borrow or lend. It doesn't necessarily have to be giving and receiving. There's also borrowing or lending involved. Corey, what advice would you give to new members?
Read the rules, please. and then just, jump in. It's a fun experience to get involved with it. It's a social experiment. So, ask for something that you need, post something that you have and no longer need, and there's no wish or gift that's too small or big.
Does it ramp up during the so-called giving season from Thanksgiving to the holiday seasons?
Yes, so far. I mean, this group is only a couple of years old, but we've seen that certainly, especially when people receive gifts that they might not necessarily need right after Christmas, and then there's a whole group of people who potentially could put that item to use.
Oh, yeah. If you are curious to try your hand at the Buy Nothing Project, we have you covered just in time for the holiday shopping season. You can find our guide for finding gifts for everyone on your list without actually buying anything at our website on kojoshow.org. Corey Chow is a moderator for the Buy Nothing Project. Corey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Annette Olson is the founder of Climate Steps and who is a participant in the Buy Nothing Project. Annette Olson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This segment about the gifting economy was produced by Laura Spitalniak, and our conversation about the connection between walkable neighborhoods and social mobility was produced by Margaret Barthel. Coming up tomorrow, repeated incidents of racist threatening graffiti at Salisbury University have sparked fear among students. We'll hear from the university president and students about what is being done to address it. And 2 years later, the family of Bijan Gaisar is still waiting for answers about the circumstances surrounding his death. They will be here to share their story. That all starts tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi.
The Kojo Nandi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Julie Deppenbrock, Margaret Barthel, Sydney Grannon, Maura Curry, and Victoria Chamberlain. Our managing producer is Monica Ashby. Our engineer is Natalie Yurev-Lifker. Our intern is Laura Spitalniak. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Nandi Show. And if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.